Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
It's Thursday, the 30th of June. Good afternoon, I'm Dean Beck, and thank you very much for joining me on the line today. We'll speak to the new general manager of Joy 94.9, Taz Mosafidiadis, will be joining us to discuss his interim role as a general manager as Danae Gibson moves on to go to the Queer Film Festival. We'll also speak to Shane Kelly from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Shane will talk to us about their call for volunteers throughout our community. They're in need of your help. We'll have a chat to Tom McFeely. He's the proprietor of the Peel Hotel. He has an interesting advertisement on the back page of today's MCV, and he's got some interesting things to say in his letter to the editor of MCV. He'll join us to discuss those further. We'll speak to Doug Pollard about tomorrow's Rainbow Report, and we'll speak to Vasco Meyer about all things entertainment. Of course, we want to hear from you. We want to know your thoughts. Maybe you've got some interesting things to say about Joy 94.9 that you could message in and let our new general manager, Taz, know. And this is how you get in contact with us.
Call Joy 1300 Joy 949. 1300 Joy 949.
SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au.
Following a very successful radiothon, at the end of that particular week of us calling for your membership, General Manager Danae Gibson handed in her resignation to move on to the Melbourne Queer Film Festival as General Manager. Well, it has been announced that Taz Mosafidiadis will be the interim General Manager of Joy 94.9. He joins us on the line. Welcome, Taz.
Good afternoon, Dean. How are you?
Really, really well, thank you. Now, I believe you've come from a government employment role previously in senior management within government.
Yes.
Let's talk about that a little bit further. This is, you know, going to be a real job now, so how are you going to cope with that?
Well, Dean, it's day one, and it's been fantastic so far. I've met with, obviously, with Danae and yourself and the Opscom team. Getting to know my way around the office and the facilities. Found the kitchen, which was great, so I could have a coffee. And look, it is obviously very different. This is a very hands-on role. It's fantastic. You're right, my background is in state government. I've worked in state government for over 25 years in various roles.
You've worked with John Thwaites,
yes.
With Bronwyn Pike.
Yes.
Is it one of those things that when there's a change of government from Labor to Liberal, people like you in the upper echelon get the boot? Is that the deal?
Look, sometimes it is. I made a conscious choice not to work in government at the end of last year, and I was going to do that anyway. And I've had a six-month break, which has been really nice. I've done a few bits and pieces, mainly volunteer work, like some work with Switchboard. A little bit of work behind the scenes with Joy, and a bit of work with my local shire, which is the city of Port Phillip.
Okay.
And a bit of work with the blood service, which has been pretty interesting. This came up and I thought, what an interesting opportunity. I've been a big fan of Joy from day one and I thought, I'll put my hand up.
Are you a Melbourne guy?
Absolutely. I was born in Footscray.
Right. Okay.
Lived in Newport and I now live in St Kilda.
So Melbourne through and through.
Totally.
Okay.
Of Greek background.
Clearly. Mosafidiadis. Did I get that right?
Not bad.
I'll have to get on to Anastasia. She coached me with that. Your background in the public realm was focused a lot on health, I believe.
Mainly.
Tell me what your take on the current situation is with the likes of VAC, PLWHA, all undergoing quite a transformation, I guess, with changes at the top, changes through the ranks. Even the national body has got new executive officers being advertised. This is a huge opportunity, I would have thought, for these sectors of our community to reconnect.
Absolutely. I think, Dean, the only permanent thing in life is change, really, isn't it?
Indeed.
And so, yes, you're right. PLWHA and VAC are undergoing change, as is Joy. I see that as a good thing, really. I mean, what it means is it's constant renewal. It's an opportunity for new people to come in, new people to put on their stamp, new people to engage with a community and forge out some new directions where they're required. So I see that as a positive thing. Of course, the broader sort of health arena is also a moving feast, you know, with the work that's come out of the National Health and Hospitals Reform Commission. Who knows where it's going to land? It's an interesting space to watch over the next couple of months.
It certainly is. Now, your appointment here at Joy is for 4 months, I believe.
Correct.
What realistically are you going to be able to do other than just keep it sort of on the right track in that 4 month period? I mean, are you empowered to change things that you see need change in that time?
The board's asked me to actually hold forth.
Right.
And to essentially just provide an objective, independent, new perspective. So what I'll be doing is listening to everybody. I want to engage and work with people, both volunteers and staff here at Joy, and provide some feedback back to the board. And from what I've seen so far in the short space that I've been here, it's a fantastic family. It's a great place to be.
We're speaking with Taz Musafiriaris. He is the Acting General Manager of Joy 94.9. Perhaps you've got some input that you think Joy could change, Joy could do better. We'd love to hear from you. And this is how you get in contact with us.
Call Joy.
1300 Joy 949. SMS 0427 Joy 949. Email on air at joy.org.au.
You wanna make K, 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 K.
You are on the line with Dean Beck on Joy 94.9. Our special guest in the studio is Taz Musafiriaris, the Acting General Manager for Joy 94.9. He will be with us for the next 4 months. Now, Taz, you're going to be, I guess, overseeing just the general running of things, trying to keep us all on track, trying to keep us all well behaved.
I've been told that's a pretty easy task.
depends on who you're dealing with, I would have thought. What relationship have you got with the board to get you to this moment in time? I believe you're a personal friend of David McCarthy's.
Oh, yes, I am. I also know Greg Atkins. I've worked with Greg over the past few years. I mean, they're personal relationships, but they've also been relationships that I've developed through professional roles. I first met David McCarthy when I think he might have been the executive officer for PLWHA.
Indeed, yes.
And I think he might have been the president of PLWHA.
Yes, he's had various roles within the community. We're very lucky to have him here, actually.
Yeah, that's how I first met David.
Right. Okay.
And Greg, I essentially met through VAC and Joy Radio, actually.
Keeping us on track is one thing, but driving us to become better, driving us to be the voice of the community and steering us to, I guess, push ourselves to excel, to produce better radio is what we're all on about and what ultimately you're charged with doing.
Absolutely.
Do you think that there might be potential for you to stay on in that general manager role, or is it in your mind just a short-term thing?
Look, in my mind it's been a short-term thing, but the jury will be open.
Right.
See how we go.
Okay.
I mean, I'm really pleased to be here.
Sure.
It's day one. But I've made a 4 month commitment. I was asked to be a bit flexible around that, which I've agreed to be, and we'll see how it goes from there.
For sure. As you've stated earlier, you've been a long time listener of Joy and a fan of Joy. What is it that you would like to see us do better?
Look, I think what Joy does particularly well is the community engagement work. And it also provides an opportunity for our community to have a voice. And I think that that's a really important role. And I'd like to see that continue. I'd like to see that develop even further. The other thing that I think Joy does really well is it helps to break down isolation. And the reason I became involved in Joy a long time ago was because it provided a great opportunity to feel connected with a community that I actually didn't know and I didn't engage with at the time. So, yeah, at a personal level, I've got a story to tell. I know my partner has a story to tell. I'll let him tell his story at some point.
Good. We'll look forward to that.
Okay. And I've heard various other stories where Joy has been very significant in allowing people to feel connected and to break down that isolation. So I see those as being really critical roles for Joy and roles that need to continue to be nurtured and developed.
The staffing here at Joy is about to undergo a little bit of change in that we'll be appointing a volunteer coordinator.
Correct.
Can you tell us about the role that that person will play? Because that role has previously been voluntary. It will now become a paid position here at Joy, but I would imagine a very vital position to see us through the years ahead.
It is about providing leadership for the management of our volunteer base, and sorts of figures that I've heard are up to 270 volunteers are actively involved.
Indeed,
in
yeah.
some way with Joy, whether it be on the board or whether it be at providing front of house assistance work. It's a lot of people, to manage and to coordinate. So that's its primary function, is to provide some leadership around the coordination of our volunteer base.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Tass.
It's my pleasure,
you've
Dan.
Got a huge challenge ahead of you, but I think a worthwhile one at that. And we're really pleased to have someone of your calibre on board. So thank you very much for joining us today on the line.
Thank you very much. And I look forward to working with you and the broader Joy family.
Tass Mousafiriaris, I was doing so well, the Acting General Manager of Joy 94.9. Today's MCV has a letter from the proprietor of the Peel Hotel, Mr. Tom McFeely. He talks about the current state of play of the scene, and he joins us on the line to discuss it further. Tom, welcome.
Good afternoon, Dean, to you and your listeners.
Thank you, Tom. Your current letter in the MCV compliments the Greyhound for their current renovations and also their staffing. Now, this is interesting, coming from the owner of what would be one of the only competition left of the Greyhound, I would imagine. Why did you want to put out this letter to the scene?
Well, I've always believed, you know, credit is due when credit is due. And, you know, on gazing, I don't necessarily believe that every venue is competition. I believe we need a strong, healthy scene where we can complement one another. And on my visit to the Greyhound, as I said there, I was literally blown away by the standards and by the professionalism of what I witnessed.
Now, Tom, I remember 15 years or so ago, there was a huge debate on the scene about cover charges for venues. You're saying that there's currently a similar debate now.
Well, prior to visiting the Greyhound, I had several patrons come up to me, and they're not even Peel patrons, so some Peel patrons and some people on the street, literally bitching about the fact the Greyhound had a cover charge. I don't know if these people were saying this, believing that perhaps that's what I wanted to hear, because I don't have one. But I honestly feel that these days, you get what you pay for, and
On that basis, you get nothing at the Peel. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I understand how you can interpret with that. I'm very, very proud of the product we offer at the Peel, and we've been able to keep cover charges away for so long out of a matter of principle. But there is you have to find a balance, and looking at the production and the shows and everything that's happened down at the Greyhound, it would be impossible to offer that product without a cover charge. And indeed, I would go so far, as I said in my letter, I think it should be triple what it currently is. I mean, I think the Melbourne scene has had it very, very good for a long time. And honestly, they're going to have to start paying for what they get.
The Melbourne scene has currently had the proverbial kicked out of it, however, with the loss of the Market, the Exchange Hotel, and also DT's. It leaves very few options left, and I guess you're in a prime position to capitalise on that. But do we see, or do you think that there will be emerging entities moving forward?
Well, I can certainly see new venues opening up. I can see relationships. I mean, I think that the old school, if I could use that phrase, in the scene is now very much dead. I mean, I think we have to remember, Dean, those venues that have recently departed and are in the process of departing, it's not through a lack of community support, I don't believe. I mean, there are many people out there who want to enjoy alcohol and who want to have a decent night out. The fact that some owners choose to sell venues to the highest bidder is a different matter altogether.
Do you think some venues have taken the eye off the ball, so to speak, and in doing so, their clientele has dwindled away to a point where they can no longer sustain it and have to sell?
Well, the term "have to sell," I suppose we could debate all day, but with regard to taking the eye off the ball, yes, I believe that's happened. I think the gay scene over the last decade or so has not evolved the same way the straight community and their bars and clubs have evolved. I think too many venues basically became very similar, especially some small ones. I mean, there was this great belief, you know, if you hang up a mirror ball and throw in a DJ, you know, you'll become a millionaire. Well, I don't believe that's the case, and we haven't offered enough diversity. And I actually see this as the beginning of a new gay scene and new challenges for operators, and I think the community will benefit out of it.
Tom McFeely, what role will you play in that new gay scene? Is it true that you and Brian Fruin are getting together to perhaps invest in new venues, etc.?
I would have to say, though, that's not true. What I am doing for some time now, I've been proposing a public company where the gay scene, in fact, owns itself, and I would be part of that. I've now, given the recent happenings, I've now moved that proposal forward, and I hope to be releasing a prospectus at the end of July. And then it will be up to the community as to what they want to do. I mean, the appeal, of course, will continue on regardless. But from what I can hear, there's quite a bit of support out there for this concept.
Tom McFeely, the advertisement on the back page of today's MCV is very clever. Firstly, let me congratulate you on that, but a little bit cheeky. It is a scene of you surfing behind the HMAS Peel yacht as around you, the Exchange, DT's and the Market sink into the abyss. What was the motivation behind such an advertisement?
I made a point of not seeing it or approving it until after the event, until it went to press. This literally came about by a conversation in the office. It was suggested that we got a phone call, you know, hi, would you like to put an ad in, blah, 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 to cement your position at the scene? And we said, no, we don't have to do that. But I'd had a few vodkas at the time, and to be honest, and we sat there and giggled about what if, wouldn't it be funny if? And then I left up to my team, and who obviously called a cartoonist, and I basically left up to them. Having now seen it, I had a little bit of a look at it. I'm giggling as I say this. I'm quite glad I didn't see it beforehand. I don't know if I would have had myself speak along the back. I mean, I find it funny. I mean, I wouldn't call that an ad. I would call it a cartoon similar to what you've maybe seen in the context of Errol Sun. I hope others understand that it's certainly not malicious or mischievous. It's just, as you said, Dean, it's just cheeky. And it gave, you know, it gave me a giggle the first time I saw it, although I was a bit...
Well, can I just say congratulations to Brett Willis, because, Tom, you've never looked better. it's an extraordinary, you're right, commentary on the current state of play of the gay scene here in Melbourne. At a quick glance, you wouldn't even know that it was an ad for The Peel, but it's very clever, and I think you're to be congratulated for it.
I think all the credit goes to Brett and his artistic license. And as I say, I love just what you said there, Dean. You know, it's more of a commentary and a comment about the state of affairs rather than an ad. I mean, it's if people perceive it as an ad, fair enough. But yeah, you're right. I do look quite. I've lost a bit of weight. Water ski, so I can hold a vodka and water ski. God, I'm good.
Tom McFeely, proprietor of the Peel Hotel, thank you so much for joining us on the line today.
Thanks very much. Have a good afternoon.
Tell me what you think of this current state of play, this scene. Are you missing the likes of the market? Are you missing the exchange? Well, it's only been, not even a week. But let me know your thoughts. What do you think the future of the scene is? I'd love to know.
Call Joy, 1300-JOY-949.
SMS
0427-JOY-949. Email onair@joy.org.au.
Broadcasting throughout Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming live around the world at joy.org.au, you are on the line with Dean Beck. The Victorian AIDS Council has put a call out to the community to have volunteers join its team. To discuss this further is the volunteer coordinator for the VAC Gay Men's Health Centre. His name is Shane Kelly. Thank you for joining us on the line.
Thanks, Dean. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Shane, explain to us what volunteers do for VAC.
Oh, I think it's more of a case of what they don't do. As someone with Joy, we're an organisation that's dependent upon our volunteers. Even though we are the Victorian AIDS Council, we're still relatively small. We've got 55 paid staff across three sites in Melbourne and have about 280 volunteers doing something with us literally as we speak at the moment. So our volunteers get involved in a whole range of activities from behind the scenes, doing admin and data entry and that sort of support, through to social support, working with clients and people living with HIV.
So there's quite a broad range of tasks that need to be filled each and every week, I would imagine.
There is indeed. We've got around about 25 generic positions, if you like, which have a position description which volunteers can apply to do. We also are looking at skills-based volunteering as well, where volunteers come to us and say, look, I can bring this to your organisation, how can you use it?
And that sort of targeted volunteering is really important these days, isn't it? Because it not only is it giving your own talents to an organisation, it also helps to strengthen a CV, for example.
It does, exactly right, exactly right. So it's bringing something that you either enjoy in a professional life or your personal life and putting it into practice, and it gives people some valuable experience, and especially if they're looking for work in that area, being able to put it on their resume.
And sometimes if you don't have skills in a particular area, but you are willing to learn, volunteering is often a good way to discover those new talents that you don't even know you have.
Well, exactly right, exactly right. When you start volunteering with us, we don't put you out in the big wide world by yourself. We always put you through with a mentor. And if it's some task you haven't completed before, we sit you with someone until you're comfortable doing so. So it's a great chance to learn new skills and also undertake additional training in areas as well.
Now, I know this is going to be a weird question for some, but for others, it's probably necessary. You don't have to be positive to work for or volunteer for the Victorian AIDS Council, do you?
No, you certainly don't. No, we have people from all walks of life, all genders, all sexuality, who come and volunteer with us. It's fantastic.
So let's go through some of the needs that you have that you need filled.
Okay, for sure. Well, at the moment, we're desperately seeking daytime drivers. The idea of this role is to... Obviously, as it sounds, is to drive clients to and from medical appointments. They're during the day, normally from Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, and it's using your own transport. so you need your own reliable vehicle. However, travel costs and parking costs and all costs involved are reimbursed to you as well.
What about insurance for something like that?
Look, you do require your car to be insurance. I think it's something that we take for granted, that, that people do come to us with vehicles that are insured.
But if I was just wondering from a public liability perspective, the drivers covered if there was an accident when they're sort of, if you like, working?
Exactly right. They certainly are. They're covered under our policy, our insurance policy.
Right. Cool. What are some of the other roles that you need?
Some of the other roles we're looking for at the moment, we've got a huge counselling program run out of our Claremont Street office. We have, I think, 7 paid counsellors and around about 25 volunteer counsellors. So this is providing counselling service to all clients across a wide range of issues, including people living with HIV, hepatitis C. We do counselling on sexuality and coming out, grief and loss, and safe sex as well. So with our volunteers there, the requirement is that you must be a qualified counsellor and willing to commit to a 1 to 2 year period with 3 to 4 contact hours per week.
Now, that's an extraordinary service that I've referred a lot of people to. You don't have to be positive, you just have to be a gay man. And if you have any issues that you want dealt with, the Gay Men's Health Centre offers that service free of charge. It's from all of the experience that I've had with it in referring people to it, I've never had someone come back saying they had a bad experience. So it's really essential to our community.
Oh, it is exactly essential. And it's not just open to gay men, it's open to anyone in the community.
Right.
Yes, so we're certainly not pigeonholing there. Yep. If anyone within the GLBTIQ community, anyone affected or living with HIV or anyone dealing with any other issues that they need to feel someone to talk to about.
Very good. So that's drivers you need, counsellors you need. What else do you need?
The other program, which is hugely popular with volunteers, is our outreach program. Now, our outreach program is basically going out and talking to men who have sex with men about sex. So the catchphrase of that the volunteer team there is, do you like to talk about sex? Because we do. So what the outreach team do, they're a group of gay and bisexual men who talk online and in sex on-premises venues to other guys about sexual health, HIV and other related topics as well. And like I said, with all our volunteer positions, there is full training involved, so we don't get you in and say, good luck, here you go. We do offer initial training and then ongoing training and support as well.
Now, World AIDS Day is coming up, of course, on the 1st of December. You always need extra hands for that, I'm sure.
We do. Our big day of the year, the big day for the organisation to shine. Obviously, raising awareness in the community about HIV, we need people to know that it's still an issue and it's still affecting people. So World AIDS Day is our day out there in the community. What we do is we go out into the CBD of Melbourne and some of the surrounding inner suburbs and hand out red ribbons. The red ribbons are the traditional awareness symbol for HIV positive, and also on the back of the red ribbons is attached a card, and what we've done there is attached some facts about HIV. So it's a real awareness campaign, getting people up to speed with where we're at with HIV at the moment.
Now, some of the other services that the VAC offer through the Positive Living Centre are things like legal services, complementary therapies, and they also offer meals and that sort of thing as well.
They do. The Positive Living Centre, which is down on Commercial Road in Paran, it's actually South Yarra, but it's more Paran when people are familiar with it, that's open from Monday to Friday, and we've got a range of activities that are run through there. As you said, we've got a fully operational legal centre, HELC, that's staffed by fully trained solicitors and barristers and legal students. We have complementary therapists, people like acupuncturists, I don't even know if that's the right word actually, but people who provide acupuncture, shall we say, massage therapists as well, who come in and provide their time for our clients to access those services. We've got a fully operational kitchen as well down there. We have meals on a Tuesday and a Thursday. We've got a fully qualified cook who comes in and cooks for us and the clients, but obviously we need people who assist there as well, helping out, doing food preparation, washing the dishes, just general serving duties as well.
And like all organisations, you need basic administrators and people to answer the phone and all that sort of thing.
We always do. Yeah. Our reception is staffed by volunteers. As you probably gathered, we couldn't operate with volunteers. They're the lifeline of our organisation. Our reception here at Claremont Street is staffed by volunteers. We've also got volunteers down at reception, down at the Positive Living Centre, and also our medical clinic down in St Kilda has volunteers as well. So there's an opportunity for people to get involved across all the board.
Now, Shane Kelly, if our listener is wanting to give you a hand, help out, volunteer their services, how do they get in contact with you?
Okay. Okay, two ways. First way, probably look at our website, which is www.vicaids.com.au. That actually lists all the positions and gives a fairly detailed explanation of what they are and the requirements are. There's also an online registration form that you can access, or alternatively, you can give me a call at the Victorian AIDS Council on 9865 6700.
9865 6700. Shane Kelly, coordinator of the VAC Volunteer Program, thank you so much for joining us on the line.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you to the SMSer who says, what a great ad for the Greyhound Hotel and cartoonist Brett Willis. That's in reference to the advertisement on the back page of MCV this week, which Tom McFeely has paid for from the Peel. But it's an interesting commentary on the current state of play of the gay scene here in Melbourne. Well, it's time now to cross to the Rainbow Reporter himself, Mr. Doug Pollard. He joins us on the line. Thank you, Doug.
Good afternoon, Dean. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, thank you. What's going down your way tomorrow from midday on the Rainbow Report?
Well, we're taking a look at issues around discrimination, because that's, you know, something we're still having to battle with. We can, you know, talk about marriage till the cows come home, and probably will be if Julia Gillard has anything to do with it. But discrimination is another major issue that needs to be dealt with.
And there are fine, intricate details regarding discrimination.
Indeed, and there are very, very, very many different ways of tackling it. So I'm going to look at a couple of probably slightly unusual ones. I'm going to be talking to Helen Zoki, who's the Victorian Human Rights Commissioner, along with Ben Hartung, who's the CEO of Hockey Victoria, tomorrow, because they've got a project going called Fair Go Sport, tackling homophobia in hockey.
Yes, I remember talking to them both, actually, some while back when they first announced that.
Yeah, well, it's now up and running. It's off the ground. There's going to be a match at the weekend with Camberwell Hockey. I rather like the press release. It's entitled "Camberwell Hockey Strikes the Right Pitch."
Good one.
So we're going to be talking about what this program is, how it works, and how they've designed it to be scalable and also transferable into other sporting codes. But they wanted, before they sort of took that step, they wanted to like have proof of concept by actually putting it in place.
Indeed, and they're to be congratulated, because if they get this right, it will be able to be rolled out amongst all different sorts of codes throughout the nation. It's an exciting prospect.
Yes, and there's lots and lots of people involved, as well as the commission. You know, there's Victoria University and all sorts of other people have been involved in this. It's a very big community effort across a broad range of institutions.
And a lot of organisations are sort of watching to see how it goes, too.
Indeed. So yeah. I think it's very, very important. Now, another angle on discrimination, which is perhaps a little, again, coming out of left field, rather. There was an article in the Star Observer last week about the Jewish Anti-Defamation Commission adding GLBTI to its remit, but doing it in a kind of rather quiet sort of way.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really very clear from the article exactly what it would mean if they do start sort of tackling GLBTI discrimination as well as anti-Semitism, and which is their main remit, of course. So we're going to be talking to the CEO of the Anti-Defamation Commission, Anton Block, about what this does mean for the Commission's work and how they will deal with GLBTI issues.
Interesting.
And then last but not least, our old friend Corey Earlham, he's going to be joining us on the phone to give us an update on how things are travelling with the federal government, because there is a commitment that was made by the federal government to tackle anti-discrimination law. You know, there's a push on to get a national anti-discrimination law to include GLBTI, which it doesn't at the moment. And he's got some updates on what's happening there.
Sounds like a very busy show, as always.
As always, and we'll have Christina Antoniades and Tim Wilson in the studio to give me a hand.
Just to spice it up a little.
Just to spice it up and have a little feistiness going on there.
Good stuff. Doug Pollard on the Rainbow Report from midday Friday. Thank you, Doug, for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Could only mean one thing. The one and only Vasco Maier joins us for his weekly entertainment gobbledygook.
I'm here and full of it.
This week, Dean.
Where are you?
Here.
There you are.
Here.
Thank you very much for joining
Thank
us.
You. Testing.
Yeah, testing my patience.
Oh, I'm trying not to.
Vasco.
Yes.
Now, where would we be in our weekly entertainment report if it wasn't for Lindsay Lohan?
Well, I'd be a lot happier because I wouldn't be forced to deal with her. But
she is omnipresent.
She is. And after a grueling 35-day...
Like a bad case of herpes.
...house arrest, Lindsay Lohan has been set free.
Oh, look out, world.
So that's the end of that.
Thank you.
New adventures and no doubt some folk dancing activities lined up there.
Aaron Carter, who the hell is that?
Now, Aaron Carter's music consists of hip-hop and romantic ballads, Dean. He plays several instruments, including drums, piano, guitar, saxophone. He's what's commonly known as a D-lister.
Oh.
F-lister, X-lister. He's also a dancer. He's done some of his own choreography.
Would I know any of his music?
Performing at 7 years of age. But you know, he's best known for being the brother of Backstreet Boy Nick Carter.
Ah,
and he's forever trying to raise his profile.
Living in the shadow of.
Now, the latest attempt. Living in the shadow, poor Nick. Little Aaron Carter claims in an interview with OK Magazine, Michael Jackson gave him, as a then 15-year-old, that's Aaron, 15 years old.
Oh, yes.
Cocaine.
Controversial.
Now, further in the week that was, a Jackson sibling, LaToya, who denies constantly that she's sharing the same nose as Michael. Well, why would Michael need it now?
I think the Jacksons deny that she's a sibling, don't they?
Well, what species? We're not sure. Alleges the mysterious Dr. Tom, but it's all about diversity. Alleges the mysterious Dr. Tom is the leader of a sinister cabal, Dean, who were out to murder her brother MJ in her newly released memoir. Meanwhile, seen shuffling out of Shame Lane, I think, on his way to the divorce lawyer, sex-addicted sci-fi TV series X-A-lister David Duchovny.
X-A-lister?
X-A-lister.
Has he dropped off the list?
I'd check with his publicist on that one. And his wife, talented actress Tia Leone, have split up. This is the second time.
Oh, they were one of Hollywood's royalty.
Yeah, and they made it through his little sex addiction and all of that.
And movie about sex addiction.
Clearly they couldn't move TV, on and right, okay. have moved out.
Right.
Also, suffering from a diminished capacity to accommodate stress, Simon Cowell celebrity rejects Cheryl Cole from UK girl band Girls Aloud has gone thermal, Dean. Cheryl secured a court injunction forbidding everybody from photographing her anywhere near her swinging UK-based pad. Bumped, and not in a good way, from America's X Factor after shifting a ton of weight, moving to Los Angeles and working hard on a transcontinental accent for a US-based audience, may have triggered Cheryl recently plastering her neighbourhood, Cooksville style, with threatening flyers. Last year wasn't good either for Miss Cole.
She's putting out flyers around the neighbourhood.
Well, she caught malaria last year, so this may just be a roll-on of a decreased capacity to accommodate stress, I think. It's not been going her way. She's sacked, she's thin, she's fat, she doesn't know what accent to use. She's booted out of X Factor.
Sounds like my last 12 months.
Oh. And meanwhile. Unconfirmed reports of Prince Harry having a new girlfriend has toasted hopes of an oft-speculated Harry Pippa brother and sister-in-law love match.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wrong.
Harry's new girl, like her predecessor too, is a blonde. She's a lingerie model or a lingerie model, depending on what side of the tracks you come from.
Oh, that won't go down well at the palace.
25-year-old Florence.
Goes down well with Harry.
Brudenell hyphen Bruce, whose most recent gentleman friend was Formula One racer Jenson Button.
Brum, brum.
Unrequited iHeart. Harry candidates can view pics of Miss Brudenell Bruce on flisted.com. Whereas Dean, at queerty.com.
Where do you find this crap? Go on.
You can check out the unique photo essayed concept exploring would Princess Diana, if she had made her 50th year intact, really have used today's social media? There's a curious Photoshop of a...
She was the master of it, wasn't she?
Well, it's a curious and interesting hypothesis. There's a Photoshop of a very much in the land of the living Diana, but aged to 50, in tableau, walking alongside daughter-in-law Duchess of Gloucester. The construct is featured on Newsweek magazine's cover. Diana's image, it would appear, Dean, on the anniversary of her 50th birthday, continues to materialise in 21st century print media headlines.
Well, I reckon she would look pretty fabulous, even if she was...
Do you think?
50 and around. Yes, she'd have Botox, she'd have a bit of a lift, she'd have every massage,
I think,
facial
a little bit
known
of
to man.
Stardust, a little bit of magic left the planet that day. She slammed into that pylon.
Yes. Prince William and his beau managed to fill that void, I wonder.
No. I think the world has lost something very special in losing Diana, and it's a curious thing to think that she would have been 50 summers young
indeed
this year.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how she would have coped with aging, but there certainly hasn't been...
How old does that make Charles?
..the celebrity to replace her on that scale.
No.
What's that about, Charlie?
How old would that make Charles?
Oh, somewhere between 60 and death, isn't it?
Well, interestingly enough, Philip turned 90 recently.
Yes.
And he's looking pretty good for 90.
Yes, he is. And all that goose-stepping and sig-heiling as a youth hasn't affected him adversely.
And still comes out with those
rigid posture the Nazis had. You can at least say that. And lovely tasting uniforms, Dean.
And Philip is still very good at giving us one-liners.
Dodi Al-Fayed had nothing to do with that last statement, by the way.
And her Madge is doing all right for her age too, I reckon.
Well, she is, and she could be off to Columbo Circle in New York.
Her mum lived a fair few years too.
To have a look at the Museum of Arts and Design's exhibition.
On. Right. Now, is this David Bowie
of
thing?
Of David Bowie.
I don't get David Bowie.
The Gene Genie boy, Ziggy. He's been branded as a blueprint for contemporary artists. His pop cultural influence is undeniable. And in recent years, Dean, there's been a resurgence, a cult-like, in the iTunes libraries around the world. So I think the sexually ambiguous space invader deserves his own retrospective. They're actually seeking to reframe the glam rocker's artistic output.
Right.
As a lifelong performance piece of sorts. So that's the level that they're coming at it from. You know, like a Yoko Ono, see the ball, be the ball, wall of moving hair type of thing.
Right.
If that makes any
Not
sense.
Not really. I was trying
to lock onto your laser beam there and pull you back into the mothership, as it were.
I don't understand the
Yes, Angel.
I don't understand the necessity for David Bowie. I just
Because?
Well, I just don't think he's talented.
You think he's a phony?
Mm.
You know, Boy George used to think he was a phony.
Now, you know how you and I like to
explore
our parodies?
Yes.
I have a lovely little one. It's an Adam Lambert parody that I thought I might share with you.
Oh, please do.
This is from a group.
He's a ginger, you know.
Get out!
No, he is.
Is that why the black hair?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
With very pale skin. Not that I've given it more than a minute's thought, obviously.
Here is my Adam Lambert parody for you. When I hang around my house, I do it theatrically. Is somebody watching me? Hey, oh, it's you. You scare the crap out of me. Why are you filming me?
I love it.
Don't
this
you
one.
Know I hate it when you sneak up on me like that? I was just about to crack you in my head with this bat.
Oh.
So now I'm gonna read a book and give you a dirty look. Just let me read my book. God. I like to dress up like a fabulous clown. Do you like my hair up? Or does it look better down? When it seems old like this, I look Japanese. I look like Zoolander now. Hey, why are you filming me? I'm using the laboratory. I'm doing a number three. Hey,
number three.
By the way,
I don't know.
Did you pay the cable bill? SMS, what a number three is. Please, 0427569949.
Do you know, it's nearly good as that whole winter thing, or what's her name?
I'm singing about a dude, but they won't let me show the dude.
Winter Gordon, Winter Gordon.
Because parents were outraged when I was on the AMAs, but they seem to be okay with Lady Gaga's for JJ. It's totally cool when two chicks make out. And it got on the news. Hey, that doesn't make sense to me. I'll just hit my knee. Oh, why are you filming me? Stop looking at me. Why are you filming me? Ow! That was Adam Lambert by The Key of Awesome, a parody of course, the one and only Adam Lambert. So what did you think of that?
An entertaining little ditty up there, as I said, with Winter Gordon, Gordon Winter, whoever she is.
Winter Gordon.
Thank you. I am an Asian.
A parody of the Dirty Talk.
Yes.
Asian Talk.
It's, yes. It's
yeah, very funny.
Very good. That All was right. very perfunctory. I
Indeed
think.
It was. Now, Vasco, what yes. is on your up-and-coming bizzo for the week? What are you doing?
I'm actually going to further explore the Mad Museum's website at madmuseum.org. So not only will I look up the many faces of David Bowie that are going on view there, I'll have a look at some of their other installation pieces. So it's a fabulous thing. If you're heading towards New York any time in your plans, just head on down to Columbo Circle.
You're just about an installation yourself, aren't you?
I'm trying not to be.
Now, are you still doing Saturday evenings here on Joy, or was that a one-off?
Saturday? A couple or more. Maybe.
We'll
see.
Watch out for the Vasco Meyer
we'll
special.
See. Thank you so much for the mention.
Because I heard you the other day and I actually enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yes. I know that there are other members of Joy people that didn't. But Vasco, thank you for joining us.
That's right. But you can't please everyone.
Say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to all of those who've contributed to today's show. They include our acting general manager, Taz Musaferiadis. They include Shane Kelly from the VAC Gay Men's Health Centre. He's the volunteer coordinator. Tom McFeely from the Peel Hotel, who had a good chat with us. Thank you to Doug Pollard. And thank you to Vasco, of course, for joining us today. Hey, thank you very much for listening to On The Line. Join me tonight, Dean Beck, with The Apprentice on Hide and Seek. We look forward to discussing all things sex, sexuality, and self. Hope you can join us then from 10 p.m. Till then, take care. Bye for now.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.